So please open your Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis chapter 39. I'm going to read from verses 7 to 12. Deschidem cuvântul Domnului la Geneza, capitolul 39, versetele 7 la 12. And after a time, his master's wife cast eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is no greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day when he went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house were there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. Amen. One thing about me that most of you guys don't know is that I love sports and I love soccer. I didn't want to become a preacher. I wanted to become a soccer player. That was my deal when I was a little kid. And but God turned things around. And I still like to do that. I still like to play soccer and go to the gym every once in a while. I don't have as much time because I'm very busy. But every opportunity that I get to work out a little bit, I do it. And a few weeks ago, it was a Saturday night. I decided after we put Seth to sleep, I decided to go to the gym before I went to work. And I like it Saturday nights, you know, because there's not that many people there. And I go to the gym and I work out. And then suddenly on an abs bench, I picture a charger for AirPods. Now, for you guys that don't know, AirPods is the new hot thing, the new Apple thing, those headphones without a wire. They run for about $160 plus taxes. Can't really find them other than retail. And I asked the gentleman next to it, I'm like, "Sir, are these yours?" And he looks at me and he says, "No, they're not mine." And he just leaves. And I take the charger, I open it, and I'm surprised to see that the AirPods are inside fully charged. I take them, I go to the front desk, and I hand them to the guy there at the front desk saying, "Hey, you know, I found this on the bench. I hope someone will claim them." And then I go back, and I start working out, thinking about what a good thing I did that I turned those AirPods in. But then I hear suddenly a voice back in my head saying, "Are you sure you did the right thing? I mean, at the end of the day, you could have just taken those AirPods. It's not like you steal them, right? I mean, you found them. Someone's loss can be someone else's gain." Then the same voice comes back to me and says, "And you turned them into this guy? Do you really think he's gonna turn them in? He's probably gonna keep them for himself. He's a young guy, probably paid a little bit above minimum wage." Now, the next day, I go to work. And I forget one of my flashlight, the Stinger flashlight, about $160 the cost, in an open locker. Many of my coworkers that left them at work, they never found them again. And the next day I go back to work and I say, "God, you know, I really hope I'm going to find this flashlight. Remember what I did the other day?" And I go to work. Indeed, the locker was wide open. And my flashlight was right there. Now you're probably going to hint on what I'm going to be talking about tonight. Integrity. Integrity. And the title of my message tonight is called The Test of Integrity. I decided to talk about integrity, brothers and sisters, because we live in a society that lacks integrity. We live in a culture that lacks integrity, and more than everything, we live in a church. And I'm not talking about the local church, but the big picture of church that lacks integrity. You see, you can become a Christian. Poți să faci o catecheză, să dai un test, să te botezi și să devii membru al unei biserici. We can read the Bible, we can go to church, we can get a bachelor in religion, we can get a master's in divinity, we can get a PhD in theology, we can attend seminaries and conferences and conventions, but brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, if we lack integrity, we lack it all. If we fail the test of integrity, we fail miserably as Christians. If you Google it out, the definition of integrity says that integrity is the quality of being honest and have high moral standards. But the second definition of integrity seems to me even more interesting than the first one. It says that integrity is the state of being whole and undivided. In other words, a person that has integrity is a person that has all these components of his integrity all together. Such a person, we would say, is a person that has it all. A person that is complete.
the test of integrity. The test of integrity. And tonight I want to focus on three things that we need to acquire, three things that we need to have in order to pass this test of integrity. And the first one, if you can put it up on the screen so the church can see, is faithfulness. Faithfulness. And please put the first verse. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2 says, "This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." That they be found faithful. And look here what Joseph says as a response to Potiphar's wife in verse 9b. He says, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So for Joseph, when he thinks about his standard as far as his integrity and his faithfulness, his standard is God. Now, I remember when I was about 15, 16 years old back in Romania, a lot of youth, they would wear those bracelets with WWJD. Remember, what would Jesus do? And they still do it today, not as much as they used to. And I always thought it was so cool. You know, whenever you go to school and your friends tell you, "Hey, let's go have a drink," you ask yourself, "What would Jesus do?" When you're by yourself in your room about to watch a movie that you shouldn't watch, you ask yourself, "What would Jesus do?" When you're paying, you're doing your taxes and you're about to squeeze in a lie, you ask yourself, "What would Jesus do?" But I'm not just talking about the bracelet, brothers and sisters, that should be on our wrist. What I'm talking about is a bracelet, a spiritual bracelet that should be tattooed or printed on our hearts. What would Jesus do? Because just in the same way as for Joseph, his standard, as far as his integrity was God, our standard needs to be Jesus Christ. Amen. When Moses at that fire burning bush, he asked God, he says, "Who are you?" He says, God gives him such an odd answer. He said, "I am. I am the beginning and the end. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the one eternally faithful. I don't try to be faithful. I don't strive to be faithful. I don't desire to be faithful because I'm faithful at the core of myself. I'm by definition faithful." Integrity, brothers and sisters, is not something that we take from a motivational speaker or from a book, but it's something that we found in the Bible 21 times. Integrity is the great value that we place on ourselves to not just talk the talk, but walk our talk. You see, there's 13 people in the Bible, I found this list, they are called people of integrity. In other words, their name and the word faithfulness appear in the same Bible verse. And I just want to read this list of 13 people from Old and New Testament. Abraham, Hanani, Moses, Samuel, Daniel, Lydia, Timothy, Paul, Tychicus, Epaphras, Onesimus, Silvanus, and Antipas. Now, I don't know if this list kind of surprised you, but it surprised me, kind of shocked me when I read it. You know why? Because most of the names here of these people are more obscure names, more obscure people than well-known people. You know what that tells me? That it's not about how cool you are. It's not about how religious you are. It's not about how known you are. It's not about how many followers you have on social media or how many views your sermon has on YouTube. But it's about how faithful you are that gives you that badge called integrity. Integrity, brothers and sisters, is not something that we do, but it's something that we are. Integrity is needed because people outside look at us to see if our actions and to see if our behavior systems matches our life. I find myself in such a situation so many times, preaching the word of God here to people that are Christians. În altă, sub o altă formă, mă aflu într-o situație în care predic pocăiților. And I feel like it's so easy. It's so easy for me to be here and preach to you and then have to go. But the hard part is when I have to go to work and I have to put up with people that are just so against God. And, you know, a lot of times I'm trying to preach them and to minister to them. And, you know, sometimes I'm like saying, "God, there's no hope for these people." And a lot of times I'm saying, "God, I'm not even going to try at this point. All I'm going to do, I'm just asking you to give me wisdom to just live the life of a Christian." It happened a couple weeks ago. I was in a break at work with one of my coworkers, and I kind of started talking a subject about God, and I said, wow, I'm like, that's a great opportunity for me to minister to this guy. And then he starts talking to me, he starts telling me his experience with Christianity and Christians and how he used to be a Christian, but he can't stand Christians anymore because of some shady things that happened in his church and with his pastor and with his mom and his family. And he literally started blasting on Christians and Christianity. And like thinking back in my mind, I'm like, oh my God. Now, not only that I'm not going to be able to talk to this guy and minister to this guy, but I have to put up listening to him how he's literally blasting Christians for another 10 or 15 minutes. And above all this, besides all this, I have to put up inhaling this smoke of cigarettes because he was smoking and I didn't want to just leave. I didn't want to be just rude and leave, right? And I was standing there listening to him and, you know, he's telling me his old story, all mad and angry. And then at the end, he stops and he says, so yeah, Abel, yeah, that's my story. That's my story with Christians and with Christianity. And then he looks at me and he says, but you know what? If you're ever going to invite me at your church, I promise you I will come. I want to come at your church. You know what I realized? That you can tell people about God as much as you want. If you don't live what you preach, is nothing. Or you cannot say a word and live godly every single day of your life and they're going to want to see Jesus. The way Francis Assisi used to say, he said it one time, he said, the best way to minister and to preach is with your life. And if you really need to, use words. The best way to preach and to minister is with your life, showing integrity. And if you really need to, use words. People of integrity, brothers and sisters, are people that are faithful in small and greater things. You know, people of integrity are people that are not just bringing money to church, but they're paying their employees as well. People of integrity are people that are not slandering others. They're not using profanity. They're not gossiping. People of integrity are people that are faithful. If you're going to be faithful in small things, you're going to be faithful in greater things. But if you can't be faithful in small things, there's no way you can be or we can be faithful in greater things either. You know, I heard this and I just found it so interesting. Warren Buffett said one time, when you try to hire someone, look at three qualities, he said, integrity, intelligence, and energy. And then he said something very interesting. He said, if they don't have the first one, the other two will kill you. In other words, what Warren Buffett said was this, if they don't have integrity, they will backstab you and kill you with their energy and with their intelligence. What a profound statement. What a profound statement. So the test of integrity, there you have it. The first one, the first thing that we need to have is faithfulness. Then the second thing that we're going to be talking about here, that I'm going to be focused on, is sincerity. Sincerity. And Psalm 15 verse 1 and 2 says, O Lord, who will sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart. Sincerity. And here I'm going to be talking about truthfulness, honesty, and authenticity. Truthfulness. In 2012, John Lennon, the host of Show Tonight from NBC, he took a radical decision. He took a pay cut of $50 million. From $30 million, he took a pay cut of half of what he would make. And when he was asked by a reporter, why did you do that, Mr. Lennon? He said the following. He said, you know what? Our show had lower ratings. And my bosses were going to fire some of my assistants. I mean, they never mistreated me. They always treated me right. But I didn't feel good to have those assistants that would be paid way less than me, lose their jobs, and me not take responsibility. And then he said this. He said, I decided to take this pay cut of $15 million. So now I'm going to be able to keep my people. And we're going to be able to work harder and more efficient. Now, that happened in 2012. I don't know when it's going to happen again, and I don't think you should wait for it to happen. But at that point, I don't know John Lennon, but at that point, this man was a man of truth because he said the truth about himself. Did you realize that when Pilate and Jesus, they had that conversation, that had that dialogue at some point, Pilate asked Jesus and says, what's the truth? And from that point on, Jesus doesn't answer him anymore. And many times I had this battle thinking and saying, why was Jesus silent? And you know, I really think that Jesus was probably thinking in his mind, like, are you kidding me, man? Are you for real? Like, are you serious right now? You have the ultimate truth. You have Jesus Christ in the truth in bones and flesh right here in front of you. And you're still wondering, you're still asking yourself, what's the truth? You know, I think we miss the point so many times in that Bible verse in John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to Father but through me. And a lot of times as Christians, we find ourselves focused on the way and we say, oh, I gotta find the way. I gotta find the path so I can gain the life. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we're not gonna find the way. We're not gonna find the path and we ain't gonna gain the life unless we receive, own, and live the truth. When you say the truth, you're like Jesus. You don't have to give any explanations to Pilate. You're like Joseph. Did you see him here saying anything? He could have said, oh, Potiphar, let me explain you. I didn't do anything to her. I didn't even touch her. When you say the truth, you are a man of truth. You don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to lie. You don't have to cover your story, to make up a story, to cover your story, to cover your tracks, to look upon your shoulders, because you are a man of truth, because you are a woman of truth. Jeremiah 5:1, God tells the prophet and he says, go in the cities. Go in the city, go in the squares, go in the markets. And if you find one person that seeks the truth and deals with honesty, I will save the city. Because truth, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, truth sets us free. Truth sets us free. Honesty. Honesty. A regular person, a research says that a regular person says on average about 12 to 13 lies a week. Paul Ekman, a doctor in psychology at the University of California, the Medical Institute, a man that researched lies for over 20 years and even came up with a book, Telling Lies, said that we, as people, we say lies without even realizing. Maybe that's why we have to, right? That's why să ne cerem iertare și de păcatele care le-a făcut în neștiință. We have to ask for forgiveness for the sins that we commit without even realizing, without even knowing. In 2 Kings, in the book of 2 Kings, there's a king by the name of Joash. He becomes a king with the help of the priest Jehoiada, and he realizes that there's an issue, there's a problem. The temple was kind of in ruins, and it kind of needed a remodeling. And he says, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to make a chest. Okay, we're going to make a chest, and we're going to bring it, we're going to make a hole in the lid, in the chest, right? And we're going to bring this chest in front of the main street, in front of the temple. And then people can donate here their money, their gold, their silver, and I'm going to give this responsibility to the priest Jehoiada and to the other guys, my administrators, sir. And they're going to take the money, right? And they're going to pay the workers so they can rebuild and they can remodel the temple. Now, if you do that today, I mean, whatever you do, you got to trust those people, right? I mean, you got to know who you're going to hire. I mean, are these people going to take the money for themselves or they're going to really pay the people? Was that the workers? Was that the case with the people of Joash? No. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 Kings 12:15 that no accounting was required from people taking the money to pay the workers because they work with integrity. Because they work with integrity. Those are the people that you're going to build the church. Those are the people that you're going to organize a conference or a convention. Those are the people that you're going to have a future with. Those are the people, brothers and sisters, Emmanuel, that a revive will come upon. Those are the people that will fill the seats in the kingdom of heaven. People of integrity. People that are honest. You know, I love this definition of integrity. I heard it, I found it the other week and I thought it was so profound. It said that integrity is keeping your commitment even when the circumstances under which you made the commitment have changed. So again, integrity is keeping your commitment even when the circumstances under which you made the commitment have changed. And you know what I found? That's actually what David says here in Psalm 15 verse 4. He says, you know who's going to stand on the holy hill? The one who swears at his own hurt and does not change. Honesty, brothers and sisters. Honesty is part of our integrity. And also authenticity. The last time my dad was here, someone, I'm not going to call this guy a friend, but someone invited him for lunch. And they went to a, it was some sort of a fast food, I'm not sure, a buffet type of thing. It wasn't quite a restaurant. And they went there and they ordered the food. And then they gave them, they said, okay, what do you guys want to drink? You know, and they said, water. And they went to the soda machine, right? Because they have soda machine where they have soda and water. And they got the drinks and they went to the table. And then after a couple minutes, the waitress came and she brought the food. And she looks at this guy that is next to my dad and she says, sir, I'm sorry, but you have soda. You didn't pay for soda. You said you want water. And my dad said, at that point, he said, I was so embarrassed. A spus, mi-era mie rușine de rușinea lui, îmi venea să intru sub pământ de rușine. He said, I was fine. I said, I want water. I had water. But he ordered water and he had soda. And I was curious. I said, so what was his reaction? And he said, well, his reaction was, you know, I'm so sorry. I haven't even realized. How can you not even realize that you order water and you have soda? Those kind of people? Those kind of people that go and get water and then they put soda? They go to Starbucks and they pay for one newspaper and they get two. They go with the people from church, 10, 20 at a restaurant, and when it's about to pay, they bail out. Brothers and sisters, if we're not going to be faithful and authentic in small little things, we can't be authentic in greater things. God cannot trust us in greater things. You know, if I would have to ask you right now, what would you do if you would die in 24 hours? Now, most of you guys would say, well, you know, I would probably go home and I would embrace my kids and my wife and my husband. And, you know, I would tell them how much I love them. And then I would probably start calling people that I commit a sin against and I would ask for forgiveness. And then I would probably pray for 4, 5, 6, 10 hours. Oh, I pray like I never prayed before. You know, when John Wesley was asked this question, he said, if I would have to die in 24 hours, now it's Saturday night, he said, I would wake up in the morning at 5, as I usually wake up. I would go to the service in the morning, then I would go on the PM service and I would preach. I would meet the societies after, then I would go to my friend Martin's for entertainment. At 10 o'clock, I would go home, I would get in bed, commit myself to the Lord, and wake up in glory. You know what John Wesley said? He said, if I die tomorrow, I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change anything because I'm trying to be faithful and authentic in every single aspect of my life. In every single thing that I do for God. Therefore, I don't have to change anything. I don't have to do absolutely nothing out of normal because I'm trying to serve God and be faithful in every aspect of my life. That's authenticity, brothers and sisters. That is authenticity. And that is part of our integrity. And the third and last point is character. If we want to pass this test of integrity, we need to have character. We need to have character. 1 Peter 5:7 says, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue, the knowledge, and the knowledge with self-control, and the self-control with steadfastness, and the steadfastness with godliness, and the godliness with brotherly affection, and the brotherly affection with love. And then I would continue and I would say the fruits of the Holy Spirit, pretty much. You know, I don't know, you're trying to make this transition from authenticity to having a moral character, having a character as part of our integrity. I was thinking this week, I have a lot of desires, but I don't know if there's a desire greater that I have. To be Sunday here, right now, the same person that I'm Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Am I always this person? Probably not, because I have my legs. And I have my sins. And I have my issues. And I have my problems. But if there's something in my heart that I wish and that I fight for every single day of my life, is to be the same person here that I am during the week that I am at home. And if I'm not that person, if I'm not even trying to be that person, that I don't have, and we don't have absolutely no right to be here and teach you how to live your lives. We have to be the same person. I need to be the same person when I preach, when I'm home, I need to be the same person when I'm singing here and leading you in worship that I'm home. We need to be authentic, and then we need to have character. We need to have character. Look at Joseph. Look at this man. I mean, all his life he was ups and downs in the valley and in the hill. The son, the beloved son, all loved by his dad and almost killed by his own brothers, then sold into slavery. Then he gets into Potiphar's house. Then he seems like he's getting his way up. And then he's accused, penetrated, no? Getting jailed. And he says there, yes, I didn't do anything to deserve this. But he never said, I rebel against God. I can't stand God. No, he was still faithful to God. And then remember what he told his brothers when they come to him? Remember when he revealed himself to his brothers? You remember when he was crying there, you know, that all the Egyptian servants were hearing him? That's how loud he was. He says, you guys meant it for evil, but God meant it for your own good. God knew what he was doing. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, Joseph would have never became the prime minister of Egypt if it wouldn't have been for his faithfulness and for his character. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3, verses 17 and 18. They tell Nebuchadnezzar, you can throw us into the fiery furnace. Our God can save us even from this fiery furnace. And even if he's not going to do it, we're still not going to worship your gods and your gold image, because we are faithful and we are men of character. O poezie spunea că, credea lui Costache Ioanid, dacă nu mă înșel, spunea că în cer pe flori nu poți fi dus, nu, când alții s-au luptat. The reality, brothers and sisters, is that life with Jesus, developing, cultivating a life of integrity is not easy. And we usually do it not in easy times, but in fire, in tough times. It's tough. It's difficult a lot of times when you feel like people from outside are backstabbing you, and then it even gets harder when your own brothers and your own sisters and your own family is backstabbing you, and you're down and you're discouraged. But we need to be people of character, people of integrity, because you know what? If we're not going to have a strong character, we're not going to make it. If we're not having a strong character, we are not going to make it. A judge was running for a government position, and there was an opponent, his opponent, he was conducting an evil campaign, literally, against him. And a reporter one time asked him and said, sir, what do you have to say about your opponent that is literally conducting this evil campaign against you? And he says, ma'am, when I used to be a little kid, we would live in a farm, and I would have a dog. And every time there would be a full moon, the dog would bark. And she said, okay, sir, thank you. You told us a nice story about your dog, but you didn't answer my question. What do you intend to do about this guy that is conducting such an evil campaign against you? And he looks at her and he says, ma'am, I just gave you the answer. I'm not going to do anything. As I said, when it would be a full moon, the dog would bark, but the moon would keep on shining. So what I'm going to intend to do is I'm going to let the dog bark and I'm going to keep on shining. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. When people say terrible things about you, keep your integrity. Go in your meditation time, in your time of solitude with God, and say, God, you know what? God, help me see this. I don't want to let myself being hurt. Let me see this with your eyes. And, you know, if I made a mistake, if I commit a mistake, help me see it so I can fix my life and I can fix this mistake. And if it's not true, God, you know, take it away. I'm just going to ignore it. I'm going to be just like the moon. I want to keep on shining, glorious, beautifully, and shining. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do, to have a strong character in the fire, because this is when it develops the most. In conclusion, I want to tell you a true story. There were three salesmen that they came from a Chicago convention, sales convention, and they were in O'Hare Airport, and they were literally running at the terminal. I mean, they were just about to lose their flight, and they were running, and two of them were in the front, and one of them was in the back, and the two that were in the front, they were hitting a stand where a little girl was selling some apples and some ornaments, and the whole stand fell on the ground. The apples broke into pieces. I mean, it was a whole mess. They didn't stop, obviously. They kept on going, and they barely got into the flight. Well, both of them except one. you see, he was touched by his own integrity. And he said, guys, just keep on going. I'm going to catch a later flight. And he stopped and he tried to help this girl. When he got down, he realized that people were here and there. They were hitting with their foot, some scattered apples. And it was a whole mess. And when he got down, he realized that this girl was crying. And then he realized another interesting thing, that she was blind. And then he helped her get all her apples and all the ornaments together. And he took 3 large bills from his own wallet. He handed them to her and he said these words. He said, look, this is going to cover more than the cost of the damage that we caused you. I'm so sorry we messed up your day. Are you okay? She nodded her thanks between her tears. He got up and he was just about to leave and arrange another flight. When he heard a voice in the back, he turned back and the little girl said, sir, sir, are you Jesus? The reality is that this was such a profound statement. To be mistaken with Jesus. But the reality is that we are all Jesus. We are the hands of Jesus. We are the eyes of Jesus. We are the mouth of Jesus. We are the love of Jesus. You might be the only Jesus that your coworker might ever see in bones and flesh. You might be the only Jesus that your classmate or your professor might ever see. You are the only Jesus that homeless might ever see in front of Ralph's. You might be the only Jesus that guy full of tattoos will see at AutoZone. We are Jesus. That's why we need to cultivate this life of integrity, brothers and sisters. Because the world is starving for people that keep their integrity. People that are faithful. People that are sincere in their hearts. People that are truthful and they live a life of truthfulness. People that are honest and they say the truth. People that are authentic every single day of their lives. And people that have a strong character. And I would say here, people that have the character of Jesus. And I want to leave you with these words of Mother Teresa. She said, just allow people to see Jesus in you. To see how you pray. To see how you lead a pure life. To see how you deal with your family. To see how much peace there is in your family. Then you can look straight into their eyes and say, this is the way you speak from life. You speak by experience. Amen.